Jesus. He is awesome, isn't he? Isn't it amazing that God just worked it out that today was recognition for women? He worked that out. We did not plan it this way. It just worked out that way. Women were great. Sorry. I got to tell you, this past couple weeks, we have been talking about stepping into God's story. And that really happens when we allow him to step into our story. And if you have stepped into his story, you already know that he's working there. But there's certain parts of the story. You might be in an introductory part of the story, or maybe you're in that plot or that foundational part of the story. But one of the important parts of the story that I think that we're in right now is that turning point of the story. It is that point where choices are made. And those choices affect the rest of the story. Tensions might be rising. Maybe there's a sense of excitement, or maybe dread. And maybe there's a sense of urgency. But in Acts, the followers of Christ were there at this turning point. There was so much that had happened in the weeks before, in the months before. But they were obedient. They were waiting. They were waiting for a change to come, because Jesus promised them that change was going to occur, that the Holy Spirit was going to come. Now, they didn't quite understand all of that, but they knew that he has asked them to wait, and that it was going to change. It was going to alter them. They were going to alter the story forever, because with that came power. It was a drastic transformation of the lives of these people, and it changed the church forever. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came upon the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire and saw separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Let's pray. Oh, every day they continued, sorry, in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together, and with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who had been saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to live in us, to move us in your direction, empowered us. Lord God, we thank you for that. We just ask, Lord God, that each one will receive what they need today. And we just praise you, Lord God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit and the tasks of the church march hand in hand. See, the Holy Spirit can often give us a fresh, new perspective of everything. And above all, the sense of God's presence, his love, his comfort, and joy. But the point of the Spirit is to enable those of us who follow Jesus to take into the world the news that he is Lord, that he has won the victory over the forces of evil, that a new world has opened up and they are to be part of it. And we do not do anything without the Spirit that adds to God's kingdom. Actually, without God's Spirit, the church cannot be his church. So it was important at that time for the Holy Spirit to come. And you have to stop and think where they were at, these disciples. They have watched God, Jesus, the God-man, and he was coming, and they thought that he was coming as a mighty warrior, and they found that he was the Lamb of God. He came in to bring peace. And Jesus taught them in those 3 years that they followed. And they were waiting. They were waiting for something they thought was going to occur. And then he was beaten beyond recognition. And he hung on a cross and died. And they wondered. But on the third day, he rose. He rose. He had victory over death. He rose, and it gave them hope. It gave them hope. He spent the next 40 days with them, talking and teaching them about the glory of God. And it was awesome because they went through so many emotions at that point in time. And then he says, wait. Just wait. He's going to leave them again. And he said, wait there for the Comforter. Now, I got to believe that there was a little bit of anxiousness that probably was going on with them. Because if you stop and think of all those things that had gone on, and now Jesus is leaving them again, and he's asking them to just wait. Waiting. Have you ever waited? I mean, on something, and you're so anxious for this to happen. I think about the Bedells waiting for their baby, and I text Rochelle and say, how's it going? We're going to evict her soon, you know. She was getting anxious, but it happened at the right time. God's timing is perfect. But I got to believe that they were a little bit anxious, and as they waited until the Holy Spirit came. See, he wanted us to have a clear understanding and the purpose of the church and what he had for his people. See, Jesus promised a Comforter would come and that they would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and I today as well. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness to all the world. You will be my witness. And the question is, are we being his witness? Because he will empower us to do that. He will give you opportunity. And he will give you the power when that time has come. He has commissioned us to do that. I think about missionaries because a friend of ours is now missionary president, and he's going to be talking to you a lot about missionaries. But I was thinking of a missionary that 100 years ago, some of the missionaries would pack their coffin when they would go onto the mission field. Now, that seems weird, but these missionaries knew that they might, more than likely, they're not going to come back. So instead of packing their suitcase, they packed the coffin. And A.W. Milne was one of those people. He was going to an island in the South Pacific, and that is where headhunters were prevalent. There wasn't any missionaries that returned. They were all martyred. But he packed his coffin. He did not fear for his life because he was called to do what God had called him to do, and that was to go share the gospel of Christ. So he packed his coffin, and he stepped into the story. It was real, and he wanted to share what he had. Well, Milne, he lived with that tribe for 35 years, and he loved every minute of it. And when they buried Milne in the middle of the village, his epitaph on his tombstone stated, "When he came, there was no light, and when he left, there was no darkness." Now, you can imagine that one man would go into a village of headhunters and he would bring the light of Christ. Now, how many have experienced that in the past week? And nobody has been called to headhunters? Work might feel like that sometimes, but the fact is that he calls each of us at some point in time to share the joy and the love of Christ to other people. And he can do it in different ways. But the fact is, each one of us are called. Can you imagine what he might do for you when you surrender and who you might reach. Jesus wants us to step into the story so we can experience his joy and take that joy to the world. Jesus told the disciples, wait for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now, I have to say, I'd be a little bit nervous because Jerusalem didn't hold great love for Jesus' followers at that time, but they did it because they were obedient. For the Jesus followers, it probably would have been safer to move away from that area in fear of what might happen to them because they were Jesus followers. But they didn't. They waited 10 days after he ascended, which probably felt like a lifetime, but they were obedient to God's call. In their obedience, they found that it was worth the wait. And the second chapter of the book of Acts begins with the outpouring of God's promised Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which was an important fact. It was one of those festivals where everybody came from all over. All of the Jewish people would come to Jerusalem. And Pentecost means 50. See, there was 50 days when Moses left Egypt and traveled across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. There were 50 days, and the presence of God brought them to Mount Sinai. That's where he came and was given the Ten Commandments. So there were 50 days there, and they were celebrating that. But the new law, it was written on stone, but the new law was going to be written on man's heart. So 50 days after the Passover Sunday, which was Easter, they were there to celebrate Pentecost. It was packed with foreigners celebrating the festival, and Pentecost was the third annual feast where all of them came together. The wind and the fire were given to enable God's people to do God's work, and it was important. See, sometimes we get hung up, but these people were from all over, and they were expecting maybe they were going to talk in Aramaic or possibly Greek, but they didn't. They heard the message in their own tongue. They heard their message in their own dialect, which was a miracle in itself. You can imagine that the Holy Spirit fell on them. 3,000 were won that day. It was given to us, an ordinary people, just like Jesus, part of God arriving here today for the world that we live in. That's what he wants for us. We are his temple. He wants us to have the living God inside of us, that we can share his goodness with the world. We have no problem, I think, today accepting Jesus as our substitute, the one who died and carried our sins to the cross. But sometimes it's harder to understand what God had intended, that it would be that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that comes with power. We all want to be forgiven. But to take that next step to really be filled with the Spirit of God, it's transforming. It transforms our life that we would be filled with his power, his love. I know many have experienced that power of God. I have to tell you that in Art and I have been serving the Lord for quite a while, and we were not raised in a Christian home. Neither one of us. But when we found the Lord, I was 19 years old, and he was 20, 21. No, he was a few years later. He was 24. But the fact is that we quickly learned that the Word of God was true. We would get into the Word and read, even as new Christians. We had a wonderful church family. We had a great community group where we were just absorbing the Word of God. And we were on vacation. We didn't have a lot of money, so we went up and visited some friends up in Silver Lake area. And we were there, and while we were there, Scott was only about 4 years old, and he came down with a horrible infection, and his fever just shot up. And it was such a high fever that his eyes, the vessels in his eyes bursted, and so his eyes were red with blood vessels. And we didn't have any money to take him to see a doctor. So we, new believers, reading the Word of God, we just thought, well, we'll try this out. So we took Scott and we laid hands on him. And we began to pray for a healing for Scott. And you know, it didn't happen immediately. We had to put him to bed and he was still sick. But you know, when he woke up in the morning, his fever was gone and his eyes were completely clear. There was no broken blood vessels. We believed that what the Word of God said was true. Can you imagine? As new believers, we took what he said. I remember a time when Sarah's little one, Araya, was just a little tiny baby, and she had a blood infection. And she had been back and forth to the hospital with her, and they couldn't figure out what caused that blood infection. And they had been praying for her. And Art and I just said, you know, God is just leading us to go over and lay hands on that baby. And we went over, and we laid hands on Araya. And her infection left because of the power of God. It was nothing that Art and I did. It was that we, faith-believing, knew that God was able to heal because he said we could in his name. It was by his power. I got to tell you, I've been married 51 years. He has healed my marriage over and over again. There were times when I thought I might be better without him, and he thought he might be better without me. But God touched my marriage, and it was better than it ever was because he is able to heal. He is able to heal our relationships. He's able to heal our bodies. He is able. Whatever the Word says, he is able. He empowers us to do that. I have to tell you, I can't even imagine raising children today without the power of God in my life. There is so much out there. And we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our youth leaders. We need to pray as Pastor Joe leads our kids. It is a huge responsibility. And our children need as much prayer as we possibly can because there is so much out there available to them. But by the power of God, we can protect them. By the power of God, we can lead them in his direction. We need to pray that God's Spirit just fills our children. But he can't do that unless we are filled, because we will teach them with our very life. I have to tell you that I can't even imagine life without Christ. I know when I was younger, I probably couldn't even have told you who he was, because it just wasn't in our home. It wasn't taught to us. But when God comes and you seek his Spirit, something happens. He transforms your life in a way that no other thing can. The Holy Spirit is a strange and personal presence of the living God himself. He leads, he guides, he warns, he rebukes. He's grieving over our mistakes, and he celebrates our small steps moving in his direction. See, the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God living in us, making us the temple of the living God, making us corporately, all of us together, corporately God's temple. That's why unity in this place is so important. One Spirit living in each of us, doing what he has called us to do. God said, choose you this day who you will serve. He wants us to step into the story. He wants us to experience him in a real and personal way. Sometimes we don't step into the story because we really don't understand who God is. We don't grasp who God really is. And all you have to do is look at the beginning of the Bible. When I look at Genesis and I look how he spoke things into being, amazes me. See, he set our planet precisely the right distance from the sun so we would receive heat. A little closer, and water would evaporate like it does on Venus. A little bit further away, it would freeze like it does on Mars. Earth is also the right size to generate the right amount of gravity. Less, everything would be weightless and sterile like the moon. And more gravity would trap poisonous gases that would suffocate like it does on Jupiter. The intricate physical, chemical, and biological interaction that comprises our world would bear the imprint of a sophisticated designer. Amazing when you think about it. This is the God we serve. This sophisticated designer wants you to step into his amazing story. Who wouldn't want that? He spoke it into being and it was perfect. He is the creator. He is the lover of this world. Jesus spoke as the Father who sent me. If you have seen him, you have seen me. And I think that sometimes we need to look at Jesus as he carried our sins to his death, that you would discover more about God than you ever could imagine. That's your worth, that he carried your sins to the cross so you could experience him in a real way. He loves you. He does have your picture on his refrigerator. He has your picture in his wallet because he loves you. God is the one who satisfies the passion for justice, the longing for spirituality, the hunger for relationship, and the yearning for beauty so we could experience him. We, the church, need to step into his story so we can experience the power of his story. God's Holy Spirit will empower us, you and I, the church, to be a powerful body of Christ. Jesus did not live this life. He did not die on a cross. He did not suffer so that we can live a powerless life. If you've been going through the reading in the past couple weeks, you can see where it speaks over and over again about the power and authority of Jesus, how he healed over and over again, how he raised the dead, how he cast out evil spirits. He spoke with authority. He lived in an empowering life. He wants us, the disciples of Christ, to experience that same power that the disciples did when they walked beside him. That power is available to us today. For the church today, he wants us to walk in his spirit with power that we can live a life victorious, with power to overcome the adversities in life. And there's nobody that goes through life without adversity. But he is almighty and powerful, and he is able in everything that you face. The power of God is real. It is alive. It is within us. He will give us the power to reach the lost in the world. And I know that if each of you thought right now about people that are in your life that need Christ, you would know we need the power to reach them. We are in desperate need of him, his saving grace, his sanctifying power, the power to heal the sick, to feed the poor, to care for the widowers, the orphans, the prisoners, so Christ is lifted up and glorified through them, through us. It's a fact that God will call you to do something you are not smart enough to do, that you are not strong enough to do. It will be beyond your abilities, beyond your resources, that you will rely on him. I am very aware of the fact in my current state of spiritual maturity, I am not capable of doing what I do because I am a knucklehead. Anybody that knows me can tell you. But he is leading, he empowers this crazy old lady to do the task he's called me to. And we can't do it on our own strength. I know that. So you've got to step into the story to recognize what he has for you today. Can you imagine what the church could become if we step into the story? We recognize the power for the church today. As I look in God's word, he has a desire that his people will live redeemed and powerful lives, that we step into Jesus' story and grow close and intimate. So we need him in every part of our life. The closer we grow, the more we desire to be like him, and he empowers us through his spirit. As we look at the book of Acts, it reveals what he wants. He wants us to step into the story. When we do experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we realize there's a fire that is within us. There's a fire that comes with that power. You know, God came to us, and as you read through the scriptures, he came in fire in different instances. If you look at Moses in the burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. In the desert, he led the people by a pillar of fire. He descended on Mount Sinai as fire. God sent fire to consume Elijah's offering, and he warned Ezekiel of judgment with fire. Fire purifies, it corrects, it cleanses, and the Holy Spirit can set us on fire for Jesus, set us on fire to do his work, to be the church God is calling us to be. Fire in Acts represented God and his power, and he wants to fill us with his spirit. But it takes us to make that decision. He who hungers and thirsts after him shall be filled. And we need to be filled. This church needs to be filled so it can move us forward. But he needs to fill us so we can be everything we can be to our families, to the world around us, to the people you come in contact with every day, that they might see Christ in you. But to be set afire, you have to have a willing heart. Just like building a fire, Art builds the best fires. He takes the wood, it is the source of the fire, and he stacks it in a way. I just throw the wood in, you know, and throw some paper in and try to light it, and it burns the paper up really good. But I'm not a good fire maker. But Art is a good fire maker because he builds it the way the air can flow through and the fire burns and burns. I'm not a good fire maker, but a willing heart is the source for spiritual fire. We have to have a willing heart. God will not send fire into our life if we don't have a willing heart. His word and his prayer is the ignition and the encouragement to fan that fire. Lots of things show evidence of fire, but don't burn. The ingredients maybe isn't being used in the right way. You've heard of people say that wood's wet. Wet wood doesn't burn very well. There are wet wood Christians out there, you know. I've been a wet wood Christian before, and then I let my wood dry out. But fire must be constant. It must be fed in order to stay burning. And if the Holy Spirit sets you on fire, you need to feed it with the word, with prayer. Constantly feed your fire for God. Constantly stay in him. God wants for you what he intended for the church, to be vibrantly filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered as God intended. There are some things that keep us from experiencing God's power in our life. Sometimes we just lack the desire. It's that hard one to deal with because we have to admit that we lack desire. The fact, until you have desire to experience the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with it, you have to desire it. Let me explain this in a little bit different way. This is the best way for me to explain. I have a lack of desire to run in a marathon. I have a lack of desire to run in a 5K. I actually have a lack of desire to run to the back of the church. I just lack desire. So, see, I don't train. I don't buy the clothes that you run a marathon in. I do not buy the shoes that you would run a marathon in. I lack the desire. See, I lack the participation. I really do. You're never going to see me, Joe, sign up to run. I'll help you register, but I lack the desire to do it. There are many who do not experience the power of the Holy Spirit because they just don't have the desire to experience it. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after me." And the question is, do you hunger and thirst after him? Or you lack the desire? The message is the same today for the church. He lives in us. Moment by moment, your story becomes about him. Being filled with the Spirit is to be empowered, equipped, guided by God for him. And we cannot do it alone. If we are to accomplish what God wants us to in this building, in this community, in our homes, in our workplaces, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as apostles couldn't do it alone, nor can we. By the infilling of the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, boldness, and power. The purpose is to accomplish his work through us. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, all believers were together, had everything in common. Can you imagine what would happen in the church today when we have everything in common? The things that happen, like at WOW, those are the kind of things that happen when we come together for his purpose, for his good. We are united with purpose for God's kingdom. It's important to recognize the church did not grow on its own power initiative. It was through the Holy Spirit. 3,000 were one. And as you look further on in the scriptures, it says that they were one daily. Can you imagine if people were one daily in our community? What a difference that would make. Believers empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. The same thing remains today. We can reach the lost. Christ's work both in the church and in the world is a supernatural thing born of his Spirit. Although we the church, are his vessels, the expansion of Christianity today is his work. He provides resources, enthusiasm, vision, motivation, courage, and the ability to accomplish the work by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody stated, "You might as well see without eyes, hear without ears, breathe without lungs, as to try to live a Christian life without the infilling of the Holy Spirit." And I will close with this. Some have suggested that the simplest way to understand the Spirit is that it is a personal love that God had for his Son and the love his Son had for the Father. A personal love that we are invited to have indwelling in us. This inner and loving life of God himself. We need to step into the story of God today and watch him work through your life, in your children, in your church, and in your world. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you.
I thank God for that good word today. Amen. Lou, wonderful word this morning. And I don't know if you're a note taker, but I try to let the Lord lead and then jot down a couple of things the Lord's saying to me and speaking into my life. And Lou, you talked about today from Scripture about the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you guys, if you've been reading through Luke and Acts, the Holy Spirit is all over the place. God's Holy Spirit working in all kinds of ways and wanting to fill us. But you said we need to, I don't know if you said it this way, but it's what I wrote down. Maybe it was in my head. I wrote, we need to create space for God to breathe and build a fire in our lives. I think you were talking about Art building a fire, and I have a fireplace at home, And whenever you just put a log flat down, you can snuff the fire out almost. But if you leave some gap under it, right, then that air flows. And the Lord just kind of spoke to me that how do we do that as Christians? We become available. We participate, as you said, and we open our lives totally to Him. We attend to the regular rhythms of coming to Sabbath worship, where the Holy Spirit can speak into our lives. We participate in a Bible study, or we spend time in our daily discipline in the Word of God and in prayer. And there are so many other ways, through coming to the Lord's table and all kinds of things where we allow the Holy Spirit. But fundamentally, you can do all those things, and still, if you're not careful, you haven't allowed space. You have to say yes, a total yes, to His Holy Spirit's love filling your heart completely. And so this morning, as I was listening to Lou, I thought, you know, here we are. This is the time change. It's the least attended Sunday of the entire year in the Church of Jesus Christ. Has been for years. I don't know if you knew that. Probably should have told people that last week and said, can we beat the trend? Can we beat the trend? But it's always been because of the time change. But here we are. Probably you wish you had an extra hour of sleep. But this morning, I believe you being here is fundamentally huge, important, as you allow God to create space in your life. And sometimes, you know, we can even fall asleep during a message. I don't think Lou was boring. It was good. But we can maybe be slumbering because we wish we had that extra hour of sleep. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we know that He's speaking into our life. So this morning, as we close, would you stand with me? I thought about maybe singing as we close, but I think instead, because as Lou said, that for me, that's not the easiest thing. But I like doing it. It's fun. That's my weakness, to try to do it perfectly. And then I just have to allow the Holy Spirit to kind of fill. And in fact, I said, Lord, this morning as I come to play guitar, if I miss a chord, help me not to obsess about that. Help me just to let Your Spirit fill and move. And so I missed a couple chords today, but praise Jesus. Amen. He does His work in our lives. And so I'd like us to bow this morning. And I tell you, as I said, I thought, you know, this is a huge message for us. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His holy love today? Will we allow God to do that in our hearts and in our lives? Would you bow with me? And there's not going to be any music played, so this is not, we're trying to dramatize and bring you to the altar through that. But if you this morning would say, I just need His filling, first would we begin with an uplifted hand to heaven saying, I want the filling of Your Spirit this morning, Lord. I want You to kindle the fire of my heart. I want to create space. I'm here this morning not just to take up room on a seat in the church. I'm here to be kindling fire. I'm here to let the oxygen of Your Spirit flow into my life. Would you just raise? I'm raising my hand. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be great if we all, I'm going to raise two hands because I'm going to tell you this morning, I want Him to kindle my heart. Don't you? Amen. I want Him to light my heart on fire and light His church on fire this morning. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. We're not looking at anybody else. We're just saying, Lord Jesus, would You fill us? And if you would feel this morning that the Lord would have you to come and pray at this altar, and your arms are getting tired of being held up, but you know you just need it more than ever this morning, maybe you'll just want to make your way to this altar and kneel in prayer and allow this altar to become a place where the oxygen just hits your soul, the spiritual oxygen of His Holy Spirit, and he begins to light your heart on fire with His love today. Amen. Amen. Let's let God cleanse us and fill us and live in us and through us to do something beyond us so we could step into His story. Father, as we close this morning, we're closing with this space of not just some music, although music is great and sometimes it helps us to come and pray. Sometimes it does kindle the fire in our heart. Music does that. But this morning, as we close in this moment of quietness, we pray that you would help us to become that you would use our lives as kindling, that to begin the fire of your Spirit within us and light us on fire. Help us to, but we know, Lord, we know you will never light the fire without our participation, without our saying yes, without our creating space and saying yes to all that you have for us. So today, Father, would you fill us and cleanse us, and would you fill us with your holy love, the power of your love, your self-giving holy love that the world needs so desperately. We need it so much today. We need to be filled more and more and more with your Spirit, the Spirit of your love, God, the power of your love, the power of your Spirit. Fill us and do your work in us, we pray. Cleanse us. Sanctify. The word sanctify is a scriptural word. Cleanse us. Set us apart. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, before we go, I want to offer a benediction that comes out of Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. It begins in verse 16. The Apostle Paul's prayer is a prayer for us. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.